Just want to say, y'all ain't got to start worshiping when I get in here. Because I was standing in the back and nobody was moving. Nobody was swaying. Nobody was clapping. As soon as I start getting up, I start hearing claps and stuff. It ain't about me. It's about him. You ain't got to look good for me. It ain't about me. It's about Jesus. You worship in your own set. When you get here, it's a connection between you and the Father, your relationship. People start singing a little louder now and stuff. It's like, you ain't got to wait for me to get up there. Oh, pastor's here. I got to do this. I'm a child of God just like you. And you have that right to be able to lift your hands. Y'all can lift your hands. I know you come from churches where they don't allow you to lift your hands. You can lift your hands in here. You can shout in here. You can jump in here. You can praise in here. You can run, but make sure you just run to the left. We don't want people running into each other. I got to show you my newest purchase. I've been praising. I've been dancing. I was trying to serenade my wife the other day. She was like, "You are a fool." Little speaker. You can have it. While I'm working outside in the backyard, what have you. Woo. So all day yesterday, I was just dancing. People, y'all got to get your praise on. Praise yourself out of a storm. Praise yourself to be happy. I can't make anybody happy. I can get up here, stand up here, and crack jokes, and it'll be funny, but, you know, that happiness comes from the Lord, not from anyone else. Because you're going to be doing a whole lot of things, you know, well, this is going to make me happy if you do this. No, it's with Jesus. In Proverbs 3:5, it says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Trusting him with God with all your heart means there's no other part of you that relies on your own wisdom or your own understanding. The wisdom of this world. We understand that sometimes when we hear the word do not, sometimes in it we want to, well, you can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me what to do. I'm going to do whatever it is I want to do. So we hear that word do not. But you know, when the Bible says it, it's for our protection. It's for our understanding. It says the do not. Do not depend on your own thinking. When we place God's word above the world, it makes life a lot simpler. But yet, there's a whole lot more action that might come our way. It makes it simple. When you just stand on the word and say, you know, this is it right here, that settles it. Hey, we're giving, we're tithing. We're giving our money today in church. Well, the bills might be saying something else. I don't care what the bills are saying. We're still going to sow. And I know a lot of other people may say that. I said, well, we're still going to honor God because he's our source. I don't know if we've ever given to the place to where it costs of our rent money. No, we never sold our rent money. We paid our rent. We paid our mortgage. But all he requires is a yielded heart. I don't have anything to give, Pastor Tim. Give a dollar. Give 25 cents. Whatever is past. Some people might throw a chicken bone in it. Give. Just make sure it ain't cursed. Chicken foot, something. None of that voodoo mess. But whatever you have, give. All I have in my pocket is some chapstick. Give. Lord, all I have is this shoelace. Give. Somebody might need it. Give. But to have an opportunity pass you by right there. And we don't. Whatever you have, with a good heart, give. Y'all heard the story with Brother Copeland. All he had to give was a pencil. Then at the end of the service, somebody gave him $20, and he took his pencil back and put the 20 in. He didn't have anything to give, but he gave. Give. Don't ever let an opportunity by. pass you by. Even the widow, she gave two mites. Not even worth a cent, but she gave all she had. I'm not saying give all you have, but give. I'm too mad. I'm upset with Pastor what he said last week. Well, forgive and then give. Get your heart right, because God loves a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. It's okay to ask God where you are missing out when it comes to hearing his voice. It's okay to be wrong because he knows all things. Just make sure it lines up with his word. And if you're feeling like maybe Pastor could be talking about me, you know, I might be ticked off a little bit. I said, here's the thing. I said, just ask the Lord where you might be missing it. That's all. It's not that hard. Some people get upset because they get corrected or what have you. I said, it's not the end of the world. Correction is a good thing. I like being corrected if you know, when I was playing sports and stuff like that. Coach, you're running the wrong play. I said, Coach, just let it go, man. I'm just doing my thing. That's what I do. I'm just a freelancer. No, dude, you gotta run the play right, because it sets this person up right here. It sets that person for this back door. It says, okay, I got it. You broke it down to me. I got it now. And sometimes I still go out there and do my own thing. They're taking too long, Coach. But there's nothing wrong with correction. How many of you wives today depend on, how many husbands out there, how many men, I want to know, when you go on a trip, no GPS, you just get there. You don't ask for any directions, you just get there. You got it already mapped out, you know the way, boom, when you're going on a trip. Telly. Now, how many wives depend on that? You depend on your husband knowing the place? Oh, that's another, see, you want the GPS. Dean, you do that? Sometimes he's raising his hand back there. I'm not just calling him. But here's the thing. We have this GPS that God has given us, that we have to go to this place. And sometimes I like even using a GPS even when I know I'm going, because I like to see the time of arrival. And if you're like me, I like to beat that time. I want to see how many minutes I can cut off. 10, 15 minutes. My breaks at the stop is very, very quick. Why? I got to get back on the road. I just lost about 45 seconds right there. That's a minute. That's a mile. At 75 miles per hour, I mean, you can you could do a mile in about 47 seconds. I count it. And see, and the thing is that God wants us to understand that if we acknowledge him, he don't want us depending on our own understanding, because sometimes where we're going is not where he wants us to be. Trust in him in all our ways, with all our heart, and do not depend on our own understanding. God can save us a lot of time and a lot of heartache if we listen to him. It's like we didn't have to go through that stuff. It doesn't mean that we're not going to go through it, but God is not, but it's not, it doesn't mean we are not going to go through something, but allowing God to lead us through the times with his wisdom will always be beneficial to us. Verse 6, it says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Seek his will in some of the things you do, in all. Seek his will in all. All means all. All in the Greek is all. All in the Hebrew is all. In all you do. Seek his will when you are planning on moving into a new house. Seek his will when you are planning on, when you're trying to find a new job. Seek his will when it comes to making financial decisions for your home. Seek his will when you're dealing with tough situations in life. Seek his will on what kind of clothes you need to wear for that day. So sometimes I don't do that. And my wife, and I leave the house, and my wife's like, you wearing that? Red on red? Or blue on blue, mix it up a little bit, do something. Kids are always on me on my clothes. But I don't care, because I'm just living life. But here's the thing. If I actually do seek his will in that department, I don't know who I'm going to run into that day. sometimes it doesn't matter what your title is. It's just who you are that's living on the inside of you, that Christ living out and coming out. It doesn't matter what you wear. But here's the thing. If you seek God in it, what you're doing is allowing him into those little decisions that you make in your life. So when it comes to those bigger decisions, it becomes easier because you've been obeying a voice that you've been confident in and been trusting in that whole time. When you seek his will. Seek his will in all you do. Seek his will on whether or not he wants you healed. Y'all know God wants you healed. Today's title of this message is healing is for you. Healing is yours. It's yours. People need healing today. I mean, we were going around just a cough and phlegm. I don't know if anybody's been going through that. It's like, but healing is yours. I don't know if God heals today. He does. He does. 100% he does. And there's been people who have backed off of that and they'd rather go with the other stuff. I said, but healing is still for today because his word ain't never changed. God's word will not return to him void. And healing is always for you. So it doesn't matter where you're at in your life. Healing is yours. It belongs to you. He wants you delivered. He wants you saved. He wants you rich financially. He wants your soul to prosper. God will show you which road to take. He will show you which path to go down on. Pastor Sam, what if the path he's taking us on is a dangerous path? His word says, forgive of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but do what? Deliver us from evil. It don't matter if the road he told you to take looks like a dangerous road. God will deliver you from all evil. What about Psalm 23? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will do not what? I will fear. Y'all afraid of a shadow? Can't be afraid of a shadow. You can't be afraid of the darkness. Y'all sleep with all no lights on at all in the dark? I don't. I sleep with the light on. Because I don't like stubbing my toe on stuff. Not because I'm afraid of the dark. Because I like to keep my toes. I will fear no evil. Is sickness and disease evil? Come on, y'all can say it. It's a church. Yes, is poverty evil? He wants you free. He wants you free of that. Well, sometimes I may have to live with this for the rest of my life. No, you don't. You don't have to. Whoever told you that lie was a lie. You don't have to live in sickness. You don't have to live in poverty. You don't have to. You choose to. Well, what about people in the third world country? Get them the word. Because it'll work there too. Get them the word. We don't just pray for witty inventions. We create the wisdom to be able to use those witty inventions as well. Get them the word because it works. Sickness and disease does not belong to you. Healing does. Prosperity does. Verse 7, it says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Being impressed by your own wisdom is evil. See, we get to the place where God's wisdom is irrelevant in our lives, but yet if we open up our Bibles and just read the book of Proverbs, I guarantee you there are places in that chapters, in those chapters where we're missing it somewhere. Because ain't nobody perfect. There's places in there where we are missing it, no doubt about it. His wisdom supersedes all the information that the world can give you. Yeah, but that was written. Yeah, here's the thing. That was written for the Jews, though. Yeah, but Solomon and David was going through that. We're not really going through that. The word of God is for us. It's for us to learn from, for our nourishment. It is for us to know that God has not changed from cover to cover. The things that's changed is his covenant, not him. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God will never change. His covenant changed. How he dealt with people and how he dealt with sin changed. I believe the first person who got stoned or that got killed under the law, under the covenant, old covenant, somebody who picked up sticks in order to fix a mill, build a fire to fix a mill, that was work. They were looking at him, knew that he broke the law. So what do? Kill him. Why? he broke the law. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So yeah, now you can cook on the Sabbath. You can heal on the Sabbath. You can go and be with that friend and talk with them on the Sabbath, and you can share the gospel on the Sabbath. You can even work, but I suggest, you know, take a day off to replenish your body. Quit working. Well, I've been working 785 days straight. Take a break. Well, I'll take a break when I die. Dude, take a break. Who are you trying to prove? Who are you trying to impress? You're not impressing God by that. You're impressing people. Doesn't matter how many days straight you've worked. God bless you that you have a job, but take a day off and spend some time with your family. Why? Because you're going to make yourself sick. You don't have to work that hard. Our labor is supposed to be in the Word of God. All right. So much for uplifting. Chris, what are you preaching on today? I said, I don't know yet. Hopefully it's uplifting, encouraging. Well, we're out that window. Verse 8, it says, then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. It says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing in your body and strength for your bones. Trusting in God with all your heart, seeking his will in all you do, fearing the Lord and turn away from evil. It says, you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Well, if you don't have that, then clearly you're being robbed. And that's not God robbing you of that. Jesus healed you 2,000 years ago. He knows that. You know that, and the enemy knows that. The enemy's doing his job. Jesus has done his job. You need to do yours and declare your healing today. The enemy will do his job. His job is to deceive you. Jesus has done his job. His job was to heal you, to save you, deliver you. Our job is to respond to what Jesus has done and trust him and put our faith in him. And sometimes we don't do that because we go back to the same old stuff because we end up being deceived by the enemy, being tricked by the devil. And all he can do is put thoughts. But if we allow those thoughts to become actions, get in our heart and come out of our mouth and it becomes actions and stuff, that's where we mess up. Your body can reject all that sickness. Any disease that comes your way. Any disease that comes your friend's way. Any disease that comes your family's way. It has no right to be in your body at all. You don't have to live with it. And I still believe, I firmly believe in the name of Jesus that you can go home to be with the Lord with no sickness in your body at all. Because that is part of the atonement. There's not too many people in the Bible that I know of that have died of some type of sickness or disease. It was because they were persecuted and they were killed, not because of sickness. It doesn't have to end that way. But even in this society, the greatest nation in all the earth, look at what's going on. You have a lot of people doing that way. The Word of God. The promise is for you. You don't have to die of something that God didn't give you. I don't know how I'm going to check out. Just check out, man. Rest your eyes and go to sleep. Wake up on the other side. Some people are scared to die. I got over that fear a long time ago. Heard Brother Hagin preaching. Kind of get over that. The enemy walks around like a lion. Understand, he is not a lion, he is a deceiver. Jesus is the Lion of Judah. Jesus is your healer, and healing has not stopped. God hasn't stopped healing. It's just that believers have stopped believing. So they end up being unbelieving believers, so to speak. The blood of Jesus never runs out. Never, ever runs out. And there's enough for every person on the face of this planet to be healed. That's enough blood. And sometimes we can even get to the place to where we have repeated ailments in our body and sickness. And some people have maybe suffered through cancer several times and stuff. And then they get to the place to where I just don't believe God is going to heal me this time. No. Throughout your life, that blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from that, has set you free from that. It doesn't matter how many times you're going through something. Every single time, the healing is provided for you. It doesn't run out. That oil doesn't run out. That anointing doesn't run out. Every time. God's will is for you to be healed every single time. In Mark 1:40, there was a man with leprosy, came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. Now, as believers and as children of God, we don't have to beg because it's already provided for us. But he was begging Jesus to be healed. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean, he said. We don't have to beg because by his stripes we are healed. That's past tense, right? See, it's already a done deal. Lord, if you have the time, in other words, Lord, if you have the time, I know you can heal me. You've done it 1,000 times for everyone else. Just like you've done it before, you could do it again. If you really want to, you can do this for me. You can grow on my hand if you want to. Notice the man with leprosy didn't say what some believers may say today. He didn't say, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. But if you don't, that's okay. But if you don't, I'll still serve you. But if you don't, well, I just won't trust in you anymore. We keep putting that but in the wrong place because there's no but there. He says, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean, period. Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me of this, period. If you are willing, I know you will do this. But we don't have to say if we are willing, if you are willing. We say, Lord, I know you have healed me. Because the man didn't really know if you. We know. We don't have to pray, Lord, if you are willing. Lord, if it's your will. That's a prayer of doubt, kind of. A confession of doubt. Lord, if it's your will, we know it's God's will. And what did Jesus say next in verse 41? He says, move with compassion. Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. Every single time you read that, that's what it's going to say. Every single time. Is God willing to heal me? Every single time. Yes, yes, and yes. Every single time. You don't ever have to doubt. The enemy comes to your mind, starts putting thoughts. I don't think God's going to heal you this time. Every single time. Lord, you are willing. But the doctor said this, every single time, the Lord wants you healed. Do not doubt in your mind. Do not doubt in your heart. Every single. But they said my blood pressure is every single time. Put the Oreos away then. Every single time, he wants you healed. And we've gotten back. We've backed off. You got to have all the details. What's that song? Is Satan's in the devil's into details? You don't need to know every single detail that's going on in your body. What you need to learn is the word. What you need to know is the word. And what it says, because that's final authority over your life. Not WebMD, not what the doctor said, not what the paper said, not what the news channel said. It's his word that is final authority over your life. Are you willing? He is. It doesn't matter what you're going through. I'm a firm believer in that. No matter what kind of ailment, arthritis, that ain't nothing for God. That's nothing. Cancer, that is nothing. It just takes us wrapping our minds around that. Just a simple word can send. This man's had leprosy. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. And grow this out. And stop this blood clot. If you got several ailments, keep adding that and to it. And but is a conjunction. Just use and. Rather than but. But if you don't. I think we try to get too deep with stuff. And then it takes us out of the will of God for our lives. And the next thing you know, you got people just trying to cry out to God over something that he's already freely given you. All right. Don't want to go there. Thank you, I'm healed. Lord, your word can heal me. Better let your word has already healed me and made me clean. Now what we do is we walk it out, we talk it out, and we tell the enemy to look out. How many of you heard this before? Y'all ain't never hear a message about healing? Yeah, I heard about healing. You know who Jesus is. We know what he's about. We know that healing belongs to us. This isn't anybody's message. This is what God has given me. I think we've gotten to the place to where we don't think that we need to confess this anymore because people have moved away. Confession is made unto salvation. And it's with the heart that man's believe unto righteousness. You say it, you believe it. You believe it, you say it. You speak it. And you don't back down from that. Well, I've done that before, Pastor Tim. I say, I'm telling you, it works for me. And I'm not, why would I change that up? If I'm hitting dingers all the time, home runs all the time, why is somebody going to come over here and try to break it down and make me play small ball? Sometimes small ball is good. But I want to take it out the park. Why? Because it worked every time. I got nice results. His word worked. Had a young cousin when my dad was alive, who was going through some stuff and she needed to get back surgery. Y'all may have heard this story before. She needed to get back surgery and she was pretty anxious about going under and getting put to sleep. What is that called? You said it. And so my dad called, and her brother had told me, hey, pray for your cousin. You know, she's getting ready to have this procedure done, and she's a little antsy about this and stuff. So I just prayed in the spirit. And then when she had the procedure, they tried to bring her out. She couldn't come out. So my family was there trying to help her, get her come out. Doctors couldn't get her to come out. No, my dad's there. He's trying to help her to come out of that. He calls me up. He goes, hey, call your cousin up on her phone and just leave a message. I just spoke what I had prayed when her brother had told me. And he played that message for her. And it was a word. She came to just that quick. Was it me? No. You got to confess. Speak the word. God is faithful to watch over his word to do what? Perform it. That is for every born again believer. Nothing special about me, him. And I know everybody else might have a story similar to that or what have you. But that's why the world needs you and the church needs you. The people in this city need you. They need Jesus. And I think sometimes you say, hey, Pastor Tim, would it be all right if I start a Bible study? I said, a Bible study for who, though? A Bible study for believers or unbelievers? Because I'd rather you do it for unbelievers than believers. Why? Because you're reaching people. Sometimes we just like to do a Bible study just so we can get around people to show how much we know. You understand? We just want to show off what we know and debate. I've been a part of all that debate and stuff. I'm going to tell you right now, it wears me out. And after it was all said and done, they still believe what they believed. I still believe what I believe. Nothing came about. Nobody came to Christ. Nothing. It was all for nothing. It was just show. I don't do that mess anymore. That's a waste of time. I'll go farm. But do a Bible study with unbelievers. Invite unbelievers to your Bible study so you can show them the word. Open up the scriptures to them. Pray for them and see the power of God operating through their life, through your life, and impact theirs. When they have a prayer and you're standing in faith with them, they can see what God is doing in your life and what he can do in theirs, even if they don't fully believe. How about that? Reach the lost. Disciple the lost. The church is already discipled for the most part. Disciple the lost and bring them into the kingdom. We have faith in his word, not our feelings, not our emotions. Our feelings and emotions will change over time. God's word will never change. So when you take a look at these scriptures over and over and over and over again, they will not change, not one iota. Jesus bore your sicknesses so that you wouldn't have to. So whatever you're carrying, my asthma, it is not your asthma. My migraines, it is not your migraines. My arthritis, it is not your arthritis. And this is a good one. My sciatica, Is there a sciatic? A sciatica. It's not yours. It's not yours. He bore it. It belongs to him. He did away with that. You don't have to anymore. So get your praise on. It's a done deal already. My cataracts, my hearing might be gone a little bit. Huh? Okay. Let me get you wet, Willie. No, I actually heard Pastor Willie George talk about this with a young girl and who couldn't hear, and he prayed over her. That's where wet Willie came from. That's what I was thinking. But that was good, though. It's not yours. My weight, it's not your weight. Anybody got other ailments going on in their body? Yeah. Next time you say my, say Jesus, it's yours. I'm done with it. I've carried this long enough. This is stupid. It is your heart. Tell your heart to be healed. Pump the way it needs to pump. Your organs shutting down? Speak healing into it. We speak to kidneys, liver, pancreatic, small and large intestines. Every organ in your body, we command it to be healed by the stripes of Jesus. We thank you. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Feet healed. Bones. Feet are very delicate. But we speak to every bone in this foot and command healing in it in the name of Jesus. Just receive it. Intrusive thoughts we cast out. Knee problems. We thank you for strong knees in the name of Jesus. Proverbs 17:22 says this: a joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and what? Soul. Your mind, your will, your intellect. But the one whose heart is crushed struggles with what? So what you thinking on? If you have a joyful and cheerful heart, I guarantee you, I said, you're thinking on the good things, the heavenly things. But if you're suffering, whose heart is crushed, struggles with sickness and depression, your mind is set on something else. It's on the pain. It's on the heartache, the things that people may have done and situations may have happened. You may have lost your job or what have you. I said, it's stuck on that. But the ones whose heart is crushed struggles. You don't have to struggle anymore. You don't have to struggle anymore. Ma'am, in the blue, you don't have to struggle anymore in the name of Jesus. If you get your heart and your mind set on Jesus, you won't have to struggle anymore because he loves you. A joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul. Healing. We can rejoice We can rejoice now. We can shout now. Do I need to go get my little speaker? Father God, we just lift her up to you right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, you know her heart. You know what she's going through right now, Father. And we thank you that a joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul. Lord, you know this woman. I don't know her, but you know her. And you know her wants, and you know her needs. And you shall supply all of her needs according to your riches and mercy. We thank you, and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And as your word said, a cheerful heart does good like medicine. And we thank you for your medicine, the word of God, that is flowing through her body right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. A joyful, cheerful heart. Might buy y'all little radios. In Psalm 91, I'm going to say this over y'all. This will be time to go. We're going to finish this up right here. But I'm going to just read this over you. You can read it. You can say it with me, or you can confess it with me, or you can just allow everybody else to speak it over you. But just whatever's being spoken through these scriptures, go ahead and receive it. For those who are on camera, too, you can say it, too. Shout it out. You ready to flow, Kristen? All right. So kind of like when we get to the last line, just hit the next one. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Hallelujah. I will reward them with what? And give them my salvation. Let's stand. Hallelujah. That's a good note to leave. Y'all know y'all operate in the anointing too, right? I say this out of love. Act like it. Be Jesus to people. Sometimes we look at our relationship between Jesus as if we're those that are begging to be with them. But we don't have to beg. People are waiting for the sons of God to be manifested in these last days. The sons and the daughters. All of creation is waiting for that. and his living power abides in you. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Cast all of those evil spirits out of people. You have that authority because you are submitted to Jesus. You don't need my permission. But my job and my responsibility is to equip you to go out and do the works of Christ so that every man and woman may be thoroughly equipped to do every good work. So don't back down. Stand strong. In the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for everyone here. We thank you for all the lives that are here today, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that whatever you have called them to do, that you will reveal it to them with clarity, Lord. And they can go out and boldly proclaim the goodness of your Son, Jesus. Lord, and if there's any heavy hearts here today, please remove that burden. Lighten their load. Because it's your anointing that destroys the yoke. And we just pray for all those who are at home sick, but Lord, we just believe that they're healed by your stripes in the name of Jesus. We thank you. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.